Welcome again to our series on Know Your Bible. And we are in the last book of the Psalms. As we said before, the Psalms are divided by the Jewish scholars into five books. And we are now looking at book five. And it comprises Psalms 107 to Psalm 150. It is a Deuteronomy, if I could say this, of the book of Psalms. Well, we have chosen for this series to speak, first of all, on Psalm 112. Psalm 112. We've chosen some of the lesser-known psalms at times, and we'd like you to get acquainted, of course, with all the psalms, because reading a psalm a day can be a great blessing to you. It lifts you up. It encourages you. It strengthens you. It gives you hope. Well, we're coming to Psalm 112. And it starts off, "Praise ye the Lord." Praise ye the Lord. And then a blessing. You know, in the Word of God, there are so many verses, so many portions of Scripture, whereby a blessing is decreed. A blessing is decreed. Here's one of them. And it says, "Blessed is a man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments." Well, to fear the Lord, what does that mean? It means a reverential fear of the Lord. It means a desire to please God in every circumstance. To please God by our thoughts, to please God by our words, and to please God by our actions. And it is to walk in such a way that we walk circumspectly, that we are careful what we do, what we say, and above all, how we live in general our lives. And so there it is, "Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord." And then it continues, "that delighteth greatly in his commandments." Greatly in his commandments. Now, where do we find his commandments? Well, we find them in Holy Scripture. And it is, if I could say this, addictive. You know, if we will start reading the Word of God, for example, a psalm a day, a chapter in the Proverbs, verses in the New Testament, it will create a hunger and a desire to read more, to know more, and above all, to know the Lord in a very personal way. And so it's a blessing on the man who fears God and delights greatly in his commandments. You know, we are so privileged living where we do that we have access to the Bible, that we can read the Bible without fear. Do you know, we minister in many parts of the world, and some of those countries, you know, people are persecuted for reading the Word of God. Of course, that is true in Muslim areas where the Word of God is prevented from entering into the countries. But oh, how wonderful it is to indeed be able to read the Word of God freely. Word of God freely. And we should treasure that liberty. Well, look at the promises of the blessing of the person that fears the Lord and also reads and meditates and rejoices in his word. Look, verse 2, "His seed shall be mighty upon the earth." His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. You know, in many cases in the Word of God, we see that our inheritance is in our spiritual seed or in our natural seed. And the blessing upon our natural or spiritual seed is given by God to those that fear God and indeed meditate in his word. And he then goes on to say that the generation of the upright shall be blessed, shall be blessed. You know, God pronounces a blessing. And what does that blessing entail? Well, you know, in Leviticus and in Deuteronomy, God promised a blessing upon the children of Israel if they would only walk uprightly with him and fear God. And that blessing covered the whole of life's experiences. For example, he said, I will bless your basket. In other words, going to the shopping, he said, I will bless that. I will bless it. When you come into your house, I will bless you. When you go out, I will bless you. I will bless you in the city. I will bless you in the field. In other words, blessing meant prosperity. I will prosper you wherever you go. And that is what God is essentially saying here. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. Wealth and riches. Well, it doesn't mean that every one of us is going to be a millionaire. But essentially what it means is this. As King David said, I have never seen the righteous beg. All our needs will be met. Will be met. We might go through trials, tribulations, and so forth. But the end of the matter is this. We shall be blessed. Our needs shall be there. And speaking of wealth and riches, you know, I think of those godly ministers whom I know personally. God has blessed their seed. And their children are what we might say respectably wealthy. Some are millionaires, some are multimillionaires, but essentially, those I know are well provided for. Well provided for. It seems that the blessing comes upon the children. They are well provided for. And they in turn, of course, provide for their parents. Well, unto the upright, therefore, ariseth light in darkness. You know, and when we pass through darkness, well, there comes a time when we see the light at the end of the tunnel. And how that rejoices us. Oh, look at this psalm. It's so full of treasures and promises. And here is something of the character of a righteous man. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. Gracious, full of compassion. Full of compassion. Beautiful character. And this is the character that God works into us. You know, as we will fear him and meditate oft in his word. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. You know, when my wife and I were going through hardships so that we literally did not have money or food or shelter, you know, God kept saying to us, you know, there'll come a time when you will lend to the nations. And you know, we're in a position now whereby the churches in our fellowship, you know, provide money to the poor in many countries. And also he will guide his affairs with discretion. You know, so many people are given certain things, but they lose it. They squander it. In fact, he said in the book of Proverbs, there's much tillage or there's much food in the fields of the poor, but it's lost for want of management. And many people suffer the lack of wisdom. God provides, but they don't know how to handle things. But a good man, you see, guideth his affairs with discretion. And the righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. Looking back in history, you know, the good people, you know, are remembered throughout all generations. People like John Wesley, Martin Luther, and the like. They are remembered. They are remembered for their goodness. And we could go on and recite, literally hundreds. Remembered for their goodness. And he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. You know, there's going to be much evil in this world, and it's increasing. But you know, the heart of the righteous is steadfast. He doesn't fear. And then, his heart is established. He shall not be afraid. And he shall see his desire upon his enemies. And one of the things that God has been speaking to me so often in this time of terrorism is this: vengeance belongeth to me, saith the Lord. And then he goes on and says this: I will repay. And you notice that these terrorists are being caught and trapped, and they lose their life. And where do you think they go? They go down. And whom do you think they meet when they go down into hell? They meet the people that they have slaughtered. And what a reception they get. Of course, if they kill the Christians go up, you see. But they are tormented by the demons below. Oh, yes. You know, and then look at this, verse 9. The righteous man, the character of the righteous man. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. You know, Solomon says this. He says, disperse 7 or 8. What does that mean? It means simply this. Look, give what you have to as many places as you can. And if you're ever in need, it will come back to you. He that giveth to the poor lendeth to the Lord, and the Lord will repay. I have never seen anybody who has an open hand and helps the poor who has not in turn been blessed by God himself. In fact, we have a very dear friend who runs an orphanage in a Central American country, and he said, you know, the way to be blessed is to run an orphanage. He said, I run an orphanage and I've never been so rich in my life. You know, because you give and God gives. And there you are. You give to the poor and God blesses you. Well, we go on, and the wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. You know, the wicked look and see the life of the righteous. They're furious. And eventually, you look for the wicked and you can't find them. They have gone, often to an early grave. Well, there we see something of what you might call the character of a righteous man and the blessings that God gives him. But now I want to move on to another portion of Book 5 and look at Psalm 120 with you. Psalm 120 is the beginning of a group of psalms that's called the Songs of Degrees. There are 15 of them. It's almost like steps going up to the height of Mount Zion. Or it can be looked upon as this. It's pilgrims in a far country, and they're on their way to celebrate the feasts in Jerusalem. 15 steps. Well, we're going to look at the first one, and we're going to see the condition of someone, if I could say this, in a very difficult situation. And maybe you are in this situation of which the psalmist describes in Psalm 120. And if so, I trust that exegeting this psalm and looking at this psalm together, it will be a blessing to you. Because that's what we want to do in these teachings. You know, we want you to see yourself in the psalms, and then if you are in trouble, to see your way out. Because, you know, God always gives a door of hope in the valley of trouble, in the valley of Achor. He gives a door of hope. You see, God never leaves his people in darkness forever. Well, we're going to look at this particular darkness, if I could say this, in the life of this dear pilgrim that's described here in Psalm 120. And perhaps we could look upon this fellow as someone who's in a far country, and he's away from the people of God for one reason or another, and he's surrounded by the wicked, he's surrounded by the unbelievers, he's surrounded by people that are less than desirable to have as neighbors, shall I say. Well, let's have a look, shall we? Psalm 120. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Now, what comfort we have there. In my distress. You know, King David was in the pit, Psalm 40. And he said, I waited, and in waiting, I waited patiently. I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. You know, we want to have this confidence that in our distress, if we cry unto the Lord, he will hear us. He hears our faintest cry. Well, he cries out, the psalmist says, deliver my soul, O Lord. From what? From lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. Oh, have you ever been in situations where you've been surrounded by people who never tell the truth, who are very deceitful, you cannot trust, and your heart just aches because of their conduct? And you look to the right, you look to the left, you know, where am I going to find someone who feels like me and desires to tell the truth? Well, he then thinks of the judgments that are coming upon those who have the four tongues. And he looks and he says, well, sharp arrows from the Almighty will come. God will judge. You know, over and over again, we have this thought. You know, vengeance doesn't belong to us. It's a prerogative of God. But God will repay. God will repay. And I have seen people, you know, who have sought to afflict me and cause me all kinds of trouble. But I've seen the end of those people. And God has, in due time, afflicted them. And they're in some shameful situation, or perhaps they've died early, but they're in a terrible state. You know, God does take note. So don't be afraid. Well, woe is me, for I sojourn in Meshech. I dwell in the tents of Kedar. Those were amongst the Arabians, amongst the heathen. And, you know, he's groaning. He's not amongst God's people. And maybe, you know, at work you're amongst foul-mouthed people. You know, people who mock Christianity. Oh, he said, my soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. You know, I was told this story of a lady who was always causing trouble. You know, and women have a much harder life than we do. And they have the saying that women are very catty. And this lady must have fallen into that description. She would pick up the telephone and she would stir up trouble amongst others in the congregation. Regretfully, it was a Christian of whom I speak. But always causing trouble. The pastor's wife always having to come to her and getting things straightened out because of the trouble that she was causing. And you know how difficult it is, you know, to be amongst those kind of people. But then we move on. I am for peace, but when they speak, they are for war. They are for war. Some people like to live in a state of perpetual turmoil. They feed, as it were, on hatred. They feed on turmoil. They love trouble. It's their nourishment. But the psalmist says, you know, I am for peace, but they are for war. And then, you know, what does he do? Well, we move on to the next psalm in this progression. You know, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth, and he will not suffer my foot to be removed. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. You know, I mentioned, you know, the fact that my secretary had spoken on the fact that our names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. You know, the sense that God knew us before the foundation of the world and was watching over us constantly. And that is a beautiful thought of Psalm 121, that the Lord, you know, is watching over us. And the enemy might be around us and they might cause all kinds of trouble with their speech, with their actions and so forth. But God is watching us. God is watching us. And he will not allow our feet to stumble. God is so concerned about his saints that he watches like a refiner sits as the gold is being heated, the dross is coming up, ready to be removed, and then the fire is quietened. And you know, that's so often the case. You know, these people that are around us, you know, they're plaguing us, but God is watching. And he is permitting them to act, as it were, like faggots, you know, pieces of wood that are put under a boiling pot to make soup. You know, they create the fire. And, oh, after the heat, you know, and the ingredients have been cooked in this pot. Oh, what a wonderful taste the soup gives. You know, and if you can think of these people being like pieces of wood, heating the fire under you so that you become all so delicious, such a delicious sacrifice to the Lord, that God is working in you, that you be a delightful person. And as you do, then you'll be like a friend of mine who wrote a book. And the title of this book was My Beloved Enemy. In other words, that person who's causing me so much trouble is heating me, but he's causing me to be more and more like Christ. And you see, this is the point. The cook or the chef must not allow that pot to be overheated, or else it spoils. So he has to watch it very carefully. And at the right moment, he quenches that fire. And the Lord, you see, is watching over us. You see, he's watching over us. That the enemies that he's permitted to bring us to a boiling point, if I could say this, will not overdo it. And in due time, he removes them because they have accomplished his purpose in our lives. So let us be encouraged, shall we? You know, in our distress, cry unto the Lord. He will hear us, but he will watch over us, and he will not suffer our foot to be moved, and he will not permit us to be spoilt by our enemies. For when they have indeed, you know, brought us, as it were, to the boiling point, he said, that's enough. You've accomplished the work that I intended in my saint. Now I'm going to remove you, and you'll see them no more. But in you has been worked out a wonderful work of grace to become more and more like the Lord. May God bless you and be encouraged. He's watching over you every minute of a day. God bless you.